comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things tonight, but you've decided to be here, and that's a good thing, and I appreciate it. And I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. I want to make sure that everybody knows, we have new listeners every night, so I want to make sure that everybody knows that we have something called the Members Community. Now, the Members Community is an area of our website that contains all kinds of special added features. The goodies, the icing on the cake, if you will. Okay, the icing on the cake, what is it made of? Well, let's see, you get the archives, we call them K-Pods. You get to watch the show each night live. If you happen to miss watching it live, you can watch it within the next 24 hours. It's up there for 24 hours for you to see. We have forums, we have chat, you get your own blog page, you get your own photo album, your own video album. I don't know. There's a library of free ebooks for you to download. And there's a video galaxy, videos for you to watch, lots of stuff. And it's only $7.50 a month. Now, we also do some special broadcasts in the members community. Sometimes those special broadcasts are special broadcasts. I mean, it's just like this show. However, it's an unscheduled special broadcast. In other words, it's additional information that we didn't put out during the week, not because we're trying to hide anything from the public. That's not the case. The situation is that we just sometimes do not have the time to get everything included during the week, and so we put it out in a special broadcast. Well, that happens in the members community. Also, from time to time, I throw in a free seminar. Now, that's not part of your contract. That's just a gift from me, but sometimes I throw in a free seminar for the members, and it's broadcast in our members community. The next one is Mars, the Fading Fog. Now, that's coming up this month, and I want to tell all the members, be sure you keep watching the announcements forum, because that's where we're going to announce the date and time. I've already informed you via a message to your inbox that it is going to happen on a Saturday this month. Okay, and so this week we will put out the actual date and time. That still hasn't been settled, but it will be settled. And so then we'll do that seminar, Mars, the Fading Fog. It won't cost members anything to view it live. If you miss it, well, then you can catch it on pay-per-view, but it's free live. $7.50 a month, that's all it costs to be a member. All right, folks, we're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. A little weirdness happening here tonight. Nothing outstanding or nothing to worry about, other than the fact that those who are in our members area and trying to watch the show tonight are wondering what's going on because of the fact that the software, for whatever reason, decided to just lock up right there at the beginning of the show. And so we're attempting to restart that, and we had to reboot the computer and restart that. So that break went just a little bit longer than normal, but we are going to press on because, ladies and gentlemen, it is, well, two reasons. It is a radio show and not a TV show, and secondly, we have a great guest with us this evening with a very, very interesting topic that I want us to get into. Tonight's show is as a result of two or three different suggestions that were sent to me with a link to a video. And this video is a video that I'm going to show you a part of tonight if our TV software continues to work. And it is working right at this moment, but we'll see if it hangs in there. If it doesn't, just those who are watching, just click over and catch the show on one of the radio stations. You know, they're linked right there on the website. Now, this video shows a very amazing thing. It shows a gravity anomaly, a place where things roll uphill. Now, I'm quite aware of the fact that there are a number of places around the planet where there is an optical illusion that things are in fact going uphill when they are in fact not going uphill. But I think if you take a look at this video, and we'll tell you all about that, but you take a look at the video, you'll see that my guest actually measures the incline and tells you how many centimeters or inches per foot the incline is, and so forth. And it appears to be the real deal. The name of my guest is Craig Tuz. And Craig, did I say your last name right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
All right, Craig Tuz. Well, now, Craig, I want to kick this off by asking you, where is, you call it Gravity Hill, where is this place located?
It's located in Sylmar, California, in the San Fernando Valley, in the north end, part of Los Angeles.
Okay. And now, there's another one located in Pasadena. And there's another one located in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you knew that. But the videos I saw on those two places looked very convincing, but you did something in your video the others didn't do, and that is you measured the incline.
That's correct. And the distance, how long it was, and you even found an earthquake fault that ran through there.
Well, I failed to say welcome to the show, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right, yeah, there's, and I want to get into all of that stuff. Folks, the purpose for taking a look at this is, you know, here on the show I say very frequently that reality is far bigger than your wildest imagination. And I also say that, you know, what we think we know, and we think, oh, well, we're the most advanced people that have ever lived on this planet, and we really know some stuff. And you'd be amazed how many people think they really know something because they can run an iPad. Anyway, if you take all that we think we know, if you take it all and pile it together, you, from your perspective, and me, from my perspective, we look at that and we say, that's a pretty big pile of knowledge. And yet, it's microscopic when you compare it to what there is yet to know. We really are very, very ignorant beings, all of us. And, of course, some more than others by choice. But, you know, the smartest of us, we are still really ignorant beings, and that doesn't mean stupid. It means we are ignorant of so much, and we think we know so much, but it's microscopic in comparison to what there is yet to know. All around this planet, there are anomalous things, really weird things. On this planet, you don't have to go to, you know, Zeta Reticuli to find something weird. Although I bet you would if you got there. I bet you'd find some weird stuff. There are weird things right here on this planet, and this is one of them. It is an anomaly. It's a weird thing. So, Craig, describe this gravity hill for the audience.
This gravity hill is located in the foothills of north end of the San Fernando Valley. It's next to a cemetery, which happens to be haunted, strangely enough. It is about 100 feet long, and when you approach it, it looks like you're just going uphill. And if you park your car, or you'll just take the car for instance, you take your car, you put it in neutral at the base of the hill, your car will roll up the hill about 12 miles an hour. And when you get out of the car and stop, you, as I showed in my video, you can stop and at the top of the hill, you can look back and you can see you came from below the hill. So you literally roll up the hill about 12 miles an hour. It really is quite amazing.
It is quite amazing. Now, in this video, you have a title that comes up on the screen that says, "People have known about this since 1943. Is that correct?
That is correct. I spoke to some ladies that worked at the cemetery, and they were telling how when people come to bury their family there, they say, hey, this is that Gravity Hill. I used to come here as a kid, and these people are usually a little bit older, and they used to come in the early 40s, and it's still there.
So what happened in 1943 that caused the local people to begin to notice this gravity anomaly?
Yeah, I've looked into that, and I have not gotten any decent answers. I've looked quite extensively. I've tried to interview a few people, and no one seems to know. It always seems like it was just there. That's what I've always seemed to get, which wasn't good enough for me, but I've not been able to find anything more. For some reason, that stretch of road intrigued people enough. And there are all kinds of stories where a lady was killed there in a car accident, and if you put your car in neutral, she'll push it up the hill for you. All kinds of stories like that. Kids were killed in a bus accident, and they push your car uphill if you put your car in neutral. All kinds of crazy ghost stories, which, you know, were very possible. But I can't actually get what no one's specifically told me why it is the way it is. I've contacted the Federal Archives for that area. So I went to school. My school, Cal State Northridge, is actually a federal depository. And I had the lady look up some information, and she also came up empty-handed. It just seems to be there, which is a little disappointing. I really, really want that piece of information. Maybe my next film will go into seeing what really happened, how it got started.
Well, and that's, folks, I think you should know, Craig is, he is a physical therapy assistant, and he is a filmmaker. He studied filmmaking, and he's a filmmaker. And perhaps that accounts for him putting the extra detail into this film that the other videos out there on YouTube didn't, and the extra detail being that measurement. You know, measurement is the first step in science.
That's correct.
And so this is pretty credible. But let me ask you this now. Is there any possibility at all that this is just an optical illusion like some of the other places around the world?
Yeah, I don't think so. I've been there many, many times for hours at a time, shooting my video with friends. I take my dates there sometimes. Everyone thought it was really cool. I've been there all types of times during the day and even at nighttime. Mm-hmm. I do not think it's an optical illusion. When you're 100 feet away, you can see the road before it dips down and then it dips right up to the gravity hill. So for many different distances, and even at the end of the anomaly, at the top, you feel like you literally rolled up the hill. So I do not think it's an optical illusion. Even when we make a right turn to get you right to that road, it also looks, one hill goes down, the other one that goes up is the gravity hill. And I do not believe, because I've checked it from different distances, that it's an optical illusion. I do believe it's an actual anomaly.
Well, I would have to say I think you're right, and that's based on watching your video where you measure the distance of the hill, the you know, the length of the road from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill.
It's about 100 feet long.
Yeah, and you put a carpenter's level out there where we can see the bubble.
That's correct.
And we can see how much you have to raise it there in order to make it level, because it is inclined. Right. And then you use a gauge that tells the rate of incline per foot.
12 feet per 1-inch foot. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yeah, no, that's what got me, too. When I was doing this, I said to myself, okay, I'm just going to go blank and go cold and put the camera up and see what shows up. I didn't do any pre-test or anything. I just wanted to show it straight scientific fact. And what I found was, I was a little surprised that according to my tool here, it said it was running down. I had to actually lift it up to balance it to make it go uphill. So that bothered me, but I started to think to myself, I've done the scientific measurements, but here we are in an anomaly that we're not quite sure what's exactly what's going on. Therefore, instruments could lie or get a misread. That's what I was thinking along those lines. So the visuals there, everything shows you a half a ton car rolls up a hill. And I have a few things I did not put in that film. I had a skateboard, some kid on a skateboard rolling up that hill. I even put a magnet on some metal. It didn't turn out well, so it didn't look good visually. But I didn't see an effect there either. But instruments do lie. In an anomaly like this, anything's possible.
Well, yeah, you would think. You know, this really, there's a joke that gets told, but it really makes this joke kind of like have some reality to it. And that is, does gravity pull us to the earth? Does it, or is it pushing us down to the earth, or does the earth just suck? Well, you know, in this case, does gravity, I mean, it's like gravity running backwards.
Right. That's correct. That's right. I didn't check for trees. Maybe sometimes trees would be going different angles, but that wasn't the case. It was just this stretch of road. Now, as I was doing some research, I also found that there was in the cemetery portion, how the earthquake, I think back in 1994, dropped about 6 feet onto the cemetery property. So I went out there to inspect, and they had patched it up and stuff. But when I turned and I looked, as I showed my video, their fault line ran pretty much exactly right through that gravity hill. And I was always curious if that has something to do with it or not. So, you know, it's really one of those things that I haven't been able to put my finger on. I'd like to a little bit more.
Are you familiar with the term ley lines?
Yes, of course. I've thought about that, too. Mm-hmm. I actually did a workup. I did not include this in the film. It's a gentleman's work I follow called Carl Monk. He does called the code, where the center of things, you take the latitude, the numbers in the longitude, multiply them out together, and then the latitude, same thing. You come up with one number for longitude, one number for latitude, and divide the two into each other, and you come up with a number. That's called the center point or the grid point. And I actually ran those numbers, and the only thing I came up with, it was a fraction of the radius. It was a fraction of pi, basically. I don't want to confuse anyone, but that was the only thing I could come up with. And it could very well be a ley line, maybe a sub-ley line. It's very, very possible.
Hmm. Well, I know it's very, very strange, and when we come back from break, now we have a break here in a couple of minutes, but when we come back from break, I'm going to show this clip out of your video, and I'll describe it for those who are listening. But you know, it's just really strange, because I mean, one of the things we see is a tennis ball rolling uphill. Okay, well, that's a tennis ball. Doesn't weigh much. Then we see this automobile rolling uphill at about 12 miles per hour, and that's significant.
Yes. And both directions. I even have the car on the other side of the road, and it rolls up the hill backwards. So it works both forwards and backwards, I thought was very interesting.
Well, yeah. What happens is that it is pulling things toward the top of the hill. Regardless of which side of the road you're on, is pulling things toward the top of the hill. Now, another thing that gives your video more credibility than the others, though I'm not saying they're not credible.
They're very good, actually.
Yeah, is that you show us the car rolling up the hill from two different camera angles.
That's correct.
And so, you know, and plus, we know it's in neutral because we can hear you revving, or whoever's in it. We can hear
them. It was me revving the engine. I actually said I did it all myself.
Revving the engine up. And, of course, if it was in gear and you tried to rev the engine, you wouldn't rev. You would just accelerate.
That's correct.
And that doesn't happen. The engine's just revving up.
Let me ask you a question. You saw the film from two different angles there, and you asked me earlier if it was an optical illusion. And here with the film, well, that's actually, I'm glad you picked up on that. One of the reasons I did two separate angles was to show you that here's a camera one place and at the top of the hill, here's one at the bottom of the hill. So basically, just looking at my film, you can see and answer your own question. It's not an optical illusion. You're really at the top of a hill, and you're watching it, and you are at the bottom of the hill, and you're watching the car roll. By the way, doesn't matter where you place it, you're still rolling up the hill.
How many people around there know about this?
Everyone. Everyone. It is amazing to me. There's some people I used to live in Los Angeles. I grew up with in Sherman Oaks. And they said, oh, yeah, I used to go there also when I was a teenager. It seems like almost everybody knows of it, has been there, or they know it's around there somewhere. They don't know exactly where it is. And that's why in the video I put down the street exactly where it was. I thought that was important for people to find. But apparently so many people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So many people. It's just hard to find. You have to know where to go.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to step away for a break. And, folks, you know, this is weird, anomalous stuff. You don't have to leave the planet to find it. It's here. It's mysterious. And, you know, one must kind of wonder if there might be some connection to the anomaly at the South Pole, at Lake Vostok, and the one at the North Pole. We'll be back right after this break, so don't go away.
Hot Arizona, but nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and those listening by radio, of course, had no problem whatsoever. Those on our TV channel got dumped again. I apologize for that, folks, but hey, you know what? It happens, and it's just a software thing. I don't know why it's doing it, and we'll just attempt to move along here. We're talking this evening with Craig Tuz, and he is a filmmaker, and he is the person who created the video that is up on YouTube about this Gravity Hill, and I believe you said it's in Silmar, California. Mm-hmm. Silmar, California.
North end of the San Fernando Valley.
Okay. I'm going to, for those who are watching, I'm going to attempt to play a clip for you out of that video. Now, if this doesn't work, we'll just talk about it anyway, and you'll have to go over to YouTube to see it, and you'll have to switch over and listen to the radio stations, because I cannot continue to try and coax this software to do what it's supposed to do. So let me set this up. Let you set this up.
Okay.
This is the tennis ball. So okay. Tell us what we're about to see.
What we're about to see is this is the first take I used. I really want to show different things, how they move through the anomaly. So I said to myself, what's better than a tennis ball or a baseball, a bowling ball? I really should use different weighted things, and maybe next time I'll do that. But I took a tennis ball, partially because it was light, and I was curious if the wind would pull on it or if it didn't have the momentum to get going. I don't want something with a lot of momentum. So I took a tennis ball, put it in the middle, right dead center on the double line. Had the camera already set up at the top, pressed the button, and let the tennis ball roll. And lo and behold, in the very first take, the ball rolled right up to the camera, about a good 30 feet. And it's actually quite impressive, I think. You see the perspective of the ball change. And you actually can see that you're looking down towards the bottom of the hill. And here's a ball come rolling right up to you. It was a case of just perfect timing, perfect everything. It looked great, too, as a shot, as a filmmaker. But more importantly, I think it really told what the anomaly was. It brought a ball that was far away, close up, and kind of brought it home, which is really one of the purposes of the shot and the reason why I did that. So let's watch the tennis ball roll right up that hill.
Okay, now we're beginning to do that, and for our listening audience around the world, we see Craig walk down the hill. He puts the ball on the ground, as he says, right between the center lines on the road, and we're watching this tennis ball roll uphill towards the camera, and here it comes, right to the camera. Now, I've continued and past the tennis ball, and what we're looking at now is the car going up the hill. Now, folks, just watching this without audio, because I have the audio for his clip. I've got that muted because it would interfere with us talking. But when you watch his video at YouTube, and you need to go do that, you watch the video at YouTube, you see the car, and there's a difference. What I'm showing you, you cannot hear that he's revving the engine up to prove it's in neutral. Okay? It's
right.
In
what?
Neutral, and it's rolling uphill.
Yeah, it's very clear. That's why I took two different angles purposely. I wish I had two cameras to set up and take that shot, but that didn't quite work out, unfortunately. So I just took two shots, and I purposely revved the engine. I even put a title down there saying with the engine revving basics. I really want to drive home that point that this is something that's an anomaly, and let's take this even further possibly in the future.
Now, this is not a very high nor a very sharp incline. This is a long sloping incline upward.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
But it looks like at the top of that hill, the road makes a curve to the right. Is that correct?
Right. That is 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
Just something else. You know, here we are at the bottom of the hill, and then we roll up the gravity hill, the anomaly, and then the next hill drops down to the right. So you're in the foothills, so there should be natural rises and peaks, so to speak. So to me, that shows me that I'm on top of the hill, and now my optics are this optic illusion, which is not an optic illusion. This is what it tells me, is that here I'm going up, and now I'm going down. In fact, if I would continue on, I had cut the film at one point, just for editing purposes, as I rolled up about 12 miles an hour, and the curves to the right, you actually start to go down and get a little bit faster. Because now you really are going, taking that speed, and then increasing it, going even further downhill, so to speak. So, very interesting how that happened, and just a complete anomaly.
There's also this. Now, when I saw your video, I ran all kinds of possibilities through my mind about, well, maybe there is like this very strong deposit of some type of magnetic load.
Yeah, I thought about that also. I actually
and pulling the car up, but it would not be having that effect on a tennis ball.
That's correct. That's one of the reasons why I use the tennis ball as well. That's correct. Correct. Even like I said, I had some people on a skateboard, had a skateboard uphill, but again, I chose not to put that just in the finished product. But that is correct. You know, I took soil samples. I didn't even talk about that. When I came back home, I actually had some people analyze it. There really wasn't any, at least in the surface dirt, there was nothing really significant about that. So, again, that also was a dead end, unfortunately.
Well, it's not apparently a magnetic anomaly.
Yeah, it's not a magnetic anomaly. Like I said, I had another scene where I actually had a magnet on the metal card, and it had the same amount of pull. It was about 300-400 gauss, about a weak magnet. Yeah, nothing changed there. So yes, it was nothing with the magnets, unfortunately.
Now your video talks about radio waves. Does it have an effect on radio waves?
Yeah, you know, I tried it with the old cell phone back then, the old 2G. Again, I did it part. I include that in the film because that was kind of funny with "Can you hear me now?" with that old saying. It did not, and I was surprised at that. But it also makes sense in such a way that there are no real wires around except some electrical wires that are nearby. So it's not, based on what we just talked about, it's not a magnetic anomaly, and it's not a radio wave anomaly. So those are eliminated. So we can really eliminate those two, and now we're kind of left with only a few other possibilities, which need to be explored a little further.
Well, the only other possibility I can think of is gravity.
Yeah, gravity, which can be affected, you know. Absolutely. It's not an optical illusion. It's not the magnet. It's not the radio wave. So, yeah, gravity could very well be different here. Nothing's flying off it, too, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are being pulled towards the top of the hill. There could be something at the top of the hill pulling. Well, that wouldn't make sense. I think it would have to be the whole thing because the ball's affected the whole length. So is the car.
Where is the nearest residence to this hill? How far is the nearest residence?
At the base of the anomaly, a little bit about a mile uphill, just to the north of this facility. And there, for years, ever since the 40s, there was nothing really here at all. This has just been starting to be built up, at least to the north. And to the south, you have about another mile or so, another 2 miles to go before you get some older homes in there.
Has anyone that has lived near this anomaly for a long time reported any kind of strange effects?
No, I've actually talked to a few people, and the new people weren't even aware that are just north of here, of that this area, didn't even know about it, surprisingly. But the people who live a further down, so in the older section, they also know about it, but never any possible complaints about anything like that at all. There's been talk of people there being the Ku Klux Klan out there and weird stuff out there, but nothing in regards to any kind of health problems or any weird things happening, no UFO sightings, nothing like that.
Okay, now there's a cemetery right beside this hill?
Right, yeah, you can actually see it in most of the films. I tried to get the cemetery, but it's right there, yes. If you're looking up the hill, it's right there on the right, which, again, is a little odd place for a cemetery. But it's there, and it's been around for quite some time.
And you said this cemetery has the reputation of being haunted.
Yes, I spoke to the director there, and it is haunted, by all means. Several times a year, it's haunted, from what I understand, but frequently. But certain times a year, some of the statues cry, I was told. I would like to actually get them on videotape one day. But I've been told that's there on certain times of the year and on a frequent basis.
What do you mean the statues cry?
It's a statue of the Virgin Mary. It cries. I believe, I remember, it was a while since I've interviewed her. I believe she said it cried, I think, on Christmas, I think. I can't remember exactly what she said. Again, I wasn't focused on that aspect. I was more interested in the anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But, the statues very well cry there. And, it's a very secluded facility, which is kind of odd. I don't know why this place was built there. Again, I also don't know why this gravity hill is here. I've actually contacted Caltrans, and they knew nothing about it. And I called them on several occasions. So this is kind of just one of those anomalies that people know about. And I'll tell you a very quick story. I was actually there just about dusk, and I was setting up, and a police officer, actually from Highway Patrol, for some odd reason, was there. And he didn't know about it, and I told him. And he actually rolled his car uphill backwards, and he was very impressed. He said, cool, and then drove on. So he finally knew about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this area is very secluded. It is starting to get built up a little bit more. But there's been no changes. There's been no real anomaly. It's almost like it's a very quiet anomaly where gravity is just different on this 100 feet.
Now, are you aware of any other places around, maybe within 10 or 20 miles around, where there is similar anomaly?
There isn't. The only place that's close by is that Pasadena place, and there's a place down in further south in California, I think Santa Cruz. There's only about 13 of these known anomalies around the United States. There's one in Lake Wales, Florida as well. I do know there's one in Israel, and there's one in Canada. But in the United States, there's only about 13. And like I said at the beginning of the film, there's like 500,000 roads and 832 routes. This is a story about one of them. And because you got to say to yourself, if there's 500,000 roads that are hundreds and thousands of miles long, this country's about 33 miles wide, and there's so many roads and streets, why is this one street, in fact, only 13 of them, off kilter like this? Maybe, very possibly, it was built over a quiet, secret ley line hotspot, so to speak. What would make this even more interesting if there was ever any UFOs, but I've never had any UFOs, any stories about anyone coming or talking about UFOs in the area, just the hauntedness from the cemetery next door.
All right. Now, when we look at this video, as you do the tennis ball, we're looking downhill. We can see a car parked over there to the left, would be on the right side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your car?
Yeah, it was a rental, actually.
Okay. Now, just beyond that car, we can see some kind of structure back there. Is that the cemetery?
To the right of that car, if I'm looking at the picture, it's to the left of that car. That's the cemetery there. Truthfully, there's a road about the same length, about 100 feet, and then you can either keep going straight or make a left to Cagle Canyon, I believe. Cagle Canyon, Lopez Canyon. I'm trying to see that structure.
All right, now the... okay, so now the cemetery, that they have a statue that weeps.
Yes, I was told it. I've not seen it, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, are they also experiencing apparitions? Are they seeing ghosts?
The lady, the funeral director there, told me that she told me two stories about two goats that were there, mostly seen late at night. Some gentleman, one of the guys, workers, was on a ladder late at night changing some stuff, and saw a ghost there. And there's another story about a ghost, another guy walking around, apparition. But those two things I was told that she remembered off the top of her head.
Uh-huh.
It just seems so odd to me, and it's always bothered me. But I have a cemetery in the middle of nowhere. Even today, it's still a mile away from homes, and it's really in the middle of nowhere, tucked away. And then I have this gravity anomaly right next to it. It just seems very odd. An odd place to put it is a cemetery, an odd place for this thing to happen, kind of out of nowhere. You really have to go out of your way to get there. And it's a little scary if you go at night, a little dangerous you would think, but it's actually not too bad. So it just seems an odd place in general. And here I have this anomaly, I have this gravity hill, and I have this ghost apparition right next to a cemetery. So it's a very strange little area, little nooks stuck away somewhere. It's very odd. It always bothered me. I'm not sure what the reason for the full of it is.
And you said that this cemetery is an old cemetery.
Yeah, it's been around for quite a while, the cemetery. I believe since the late 40s, I believe she told me. There's actually quite a few famous people buried there, actually. Jeffrey Hunter from Star Trek fame and from The Searchers is buried there. There's quite a few other people that are famous. Buster Keaton's mother's buried there, and I think a mayor, I forgot from where, somewhere else.
All right, we have to step away from break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Craig Tuz. Craig, you were saying there's some famous people that are buried in this cemetery, and that it's been there since the 1940s.
That's correct.
Okay, so there's not anybody in the 1940s that was living right around there, right?
You know, there are some shacks and stuff and some older houses, but, you know, the area wasn't as populated back then. The areas of Sylmar and San Fernando, and there's obviously a lot more people there now. But, there weren't that many people buried there. Yeah, in that area, living there in that area. That's correct.
Okay, so you don't have very many people living there.
No.
We have a cemetery that is started there. Was it originally started, and I'm headed somewhere with this, so bear with me. Now, was it originally started as a cemetery attached to a country church?
No, it was just a cemetery by itself, which I find really odd, too.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, the cemetery shows up in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1940s, people begin to be aware that this is an anomalous hill, that it's a gravity hill.
Right.
Do you think that there is any linkage between this gravity hill and whoever chose to put that cemetery there? Did they choose to put it there because of this anomaly? Now, before you answer that, I want to throw something into the mix here. Walter Bosley is a former federal agent. Walter Bosley is these days an author and a publisher, and deals with anomalous information, anomalous phenomena. And he wrote a book called Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. Now, in this book, Walter details how C.V. Wood, formerly of the company called SRI, was hired by Disney to pick the spot to put what became Disneyland, the first Disneyland. And C.V. Wood picked a spot where you have the intersection of three major ley lines. And he located the carousel right on top of the intersection.
Oh, it was the castle that's put there. I didn't know that part. Wow. Mm-hmm. It goes around and around. Interesting.
Yeah. So what I'm wondering is it possible that there was somebody who had similar kinds of knowledge, kind of the esoteric knowledge, that knew about this Gravity Hill that was involved in deciding to put a cemetery there?
Just like in laying out of Washington, D.C., and the way it was laid out in regards to this, too, I absolutely think 100% it was done for that reason. And for that, and what those are, I don't know how they came up with that, but definitely someone had that knowledge to do that. Absolutely.
And now, part B of the question, what do you think about this? I'm just going to throw this out as a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, is it possible that whatever this anomaly is, whether it's a ley line or some type of, I don't know, I have no idea what could cause gravity to act this way.
Right.
But whatever it is it possible that it has the effect of making these paranormal sightings and phenomena in this cemetery more likely to happen? And is it possible then that whoever made that decision to put the cemetery there was doing so out of some sort of occult knowledge and concerns for some type of occult situation?
Yes, I see exactly what you're saying, where you're going. I agree with it 100%. Absolutely. It also, what I'm thinking of along those lines is this place could have been set up as an experiment, maybe as a dead or buried next to this anomaly here, to maybe enhance the strengthening of contact on the other side. So it may have been set up as an experiment, possibly, or as a research project, maybe by whoever, the government, or I don't know who. But it's a strong, strong possibility. I like that way of thinking. It makes a lot of sense, because as I said earlier, it's just so out of the way. It's just so in the middle of nowhere. And mm-hmm. you drive in this quiet canyon road, and bam, here pops up this, you know, fairly old, fairly nice cemetery.
And it's kept up well today, right?
Very well kept up, absolutely. Great shape, great, nice facility, fairly big, too, as a matter of fact. You open up a new section, too, as a matter of fact, from what I understand. And, yeah, beautiful facility, absolutely.
So who owns it?
You know what? I don't know. I've done quite a bit of research. It may have changed hands. There's a World War II cannon out front for some odd reason. It seems to be a mishmash of stuff. And even the lady when I interviewed her, just, you know, asking about Gravity Hill and a few other things, and she starts talking about the ghosts. She really, you know, didn't know. It was owned by a group of people, from what she told me, and that's usually a way just to kind of keep you quiet, and that group of people could be, you know, whoever. And now that obviously could lead to something, possibly.
It'd be interesting to know if anybody in that group, or if that group itself, mm-hmm. has any connections with any type of occult or esoteric type group,
and yes, by, boy.
You know, esoteric, I simply mean that deals with forces of nature and so forth.
I'm with you 100%. I really, really would be. You know, those people tend to hide, and sometimes they kind of have to a little bit, and that's understandable. But yes, it would be really interesting to understand. You know, one thing that was interesting to me as I was thinking about this, is this started back in the 40s, and one of the things I was doing some research on, some people told me, they used to bury their dead after the cemetery. They go, hey, this is that Gravity Hill. Let's go take a ride. It was like a toy. It was almost like a kid thing, something you kind of did on the weekend driving around, just one of those kind of fun things to do. And what I'm thinking about is that here it is. That was in the 40s. Here it is, you know, 2012. We're looking at 60, 70 years later. If this project just could have been abandoned, or maybe it's a long-term project with occult activities, and just kind of using it now as just as a cemetery, or it could be a long-term process, which is would be very more interesting to even dig down.
Do you know if there are any stories of people seeing strange occult-looking activities taking place there?
You know, there's a few of those stories. On some of the comment sections, some people were saying how they saw the KKK there. But nothing occult, but that could take place inside, deep behind the walls, or it could be low-key, so to speak. I've actually been there between 11 o'clock at night and 1 in the morning doing some research with the laser beam, which I did not include in the video because it didn't look right and didn't really say anything, so I didn't include it. But I was out there for quite a while, and I was with the dog, for instance, that I show in there, Carrie Blue, and, it, you know, it was a little scary out there, But it was quiet, and you didn't feel safe, you didn't feel not safe, but I did not see anything. And I've been there many times, many different times during the day, and even at night, and I did not see anything, and I was looking for it, too.
Tell us, well, we don't have time. Yeah, we do, if you do it very quickly. Sure. What's the deal with the dog's reaction?
You know what? I include there. It was, I, one of the things I've studied film, obviously, for a while, and one of the things you got to include is humor, and I thought it would be kind of fun to put the dog in there. I thought it was interesting. Part of a humor thing. But I thought it was important to have an animal, and especially a dog, with a sense of smell. Dogs have a very highly developed sense, as we know. And I want to see a dog's reaction, an animal's reaction, specifically the dog, because I wanted to see if it saw something that I, as a human on my level, could not perceive. And he was a little hesitant to go in there. He tended to stay at the base, like in the first 4 or 5 feet of the anomaly, and that was it. He didn't really come with me, didn't really want to come with me further up and deeper up into the top of the hill. So I thought that was very odd, and I can't read the dog's mind. There was something there with that, too, and I would like to possibly dig into that deeper next time.
All right. We're going to step away for a break, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open up the telephone lines, and I am very interested in what you have to think about this and what your questions are, and perhaps there is some type of similar anomaly, or maybe not similar, but just some kind of weird phenomena that happens near where you live. Tonight is a good night to share that with us, because the point is, folks, the point is that things like this are happening all over the planet. Things like this, weird things like this, exist all over this planet. And we have a whole population, something like 7 billion of us now, walking around with a sort of Homer Simpson mentality that never look at these phenomena, never consider the fact that we live in a strange and anomalous world. But we do. There are a great many more anomalies than people realize, and they're all around you. I dare say there have been people that have driven this road and drove up that hill many, many, many times in their lives and never knew, and maybe never had any reason to know. But this kind of stuff is around us all the time. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Craig Tuz, and we're talking about Gravity Hill, a fantastic anomaly, one of those oh wow wonders, you know, and pretty cool stuff. I want to welcome you if you're just now joining us in the second hour. Welcome, we're glad you're here, and my sympathy to you for whatever kept you away from the first hour. But we're glad you're here now, and the telephone lines are open now. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and if you live in the United States or Canada, please use that number. That number will work anywhere in the world, but we know it's expensive to make international long-distance calls. And so if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. There's a link right above it that says flash message. Okay, Craig, are you ready to hear from the audience?
I'm looking forward to hearing from the audience.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I don't have a lot to say, but I can think of three ways to measure. And number one would be, if there's a difference in gravitation, then it's going to affect clocks somehow. So if there's a way to measure the differences through clocks, that'd be one way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a difference in gravitation means a difference in mass. So if you could figure out a way to measure that, that'd be another indication. And then finally, there might be a relationship between electromagnetism and gravity. So I'd be looking for that as well. So that's three different ways you might be able to measure.
And all right, I have a question.
That's about all I have to say.
That's okay. Good, John.
I got a question for you, John. Why would there be some sort of effect on clocks?
Well, moving clocks go slow. That's an Einsteinian saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got acceleration, which is the same as gravity, then that will affect clock time. So as gravity increases, which implies acceleration, then your time's going to go slow. So if there's a way to compare the area with another area, then the area that you're measuring should be slower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have to make a part two now, I guess. Yeah, even at 100 feet apart, that clock thing would be a good idea. I'll have to make a part two. Thanks, John. I appreciate that.
Okay, John. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Good point. Yeah, I knew that about the clocks, but I wanted him to explain for the audience because it's been noted that if you measure time at the base, say, of Mount Everest, and measure time at the top of Mount Everest, there's a differential in the time. There's a differential in the clocks. And you know, and plus they've noticed that with astronauts and timepieces as well.
That's right. It's also a couple thousand feet in difference. I mean, this is only about 100 feet long, so I have some very specific measurements in regards to that.
Yeah.
I have to call NASA on that one.
Well, I think you should. They're not in the spaceflight business anymore. They need to do
very
something.
Very valuable point.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hey.
Hi, Craig.
Hey.
My question to you, Craig, is I was watching the video, and you placed the ball, the tennis ball, down beside the camera, and then you walked downhill. When you're walking downhill to where you said it was about 30 feet away and then placed the tennis ball and the ball rolled back uphill,
mm-hmm.
on both cases, could you feel, like in the first case, could you feel that you were walking downhill? And then
yes.
When you let the ball go and it was rolling uphill, did it feel to you like you were walking downhill when you were going uphill?
It felt... I was concentrating on the ball. Going down, I definitely felt it because I was trying to place and I was mentally figuring out the difference in the camera, how far I wanted the ball, what it would look like and stuff. And going up, I wasn't paying as much attention. But I will tell you, I've walked up that hill many times, and I've been out of breath a little bit. That's a 100 feet walk, fairly quick pace. It actually tires you out, so you definitely are running uphill. A friend of mine actually is a runner, and he actually tried that out. And he says he can usually tell, and he actually ran up the hill, and he definitely said to me it was definitely an uphill thing. So what you're seeing in the video is what you see, and it really is real. That's why the camera's placed on the ground as close as possible, not to trick you or anything, but to get the actual feel of being there. So yeah, it felt like I was walking.
I wasn't so much saying as far as being tricked, as far as if it felt to you like you were walking downhill when you were actually going up to the camera, because it seems that if gravity was pulling it, then you would. It would also be pulling you, and it would negate the going uphill. But as you said with your friend, the runner, he definitely could feel, you know, just like when you ride a bike, you can definitely tell the difference between going downhill and uphill.
Right. Don't forget, I'm not an inanimate object. I'm actually fighting gravity. Again, I'm seeing it going uphill, so maybe in the Matrix mind, I'm actually walking uphill, so I'm going to work a little bit harder when really I'm going downhill. That may be possible, too. That may be psychological only. But the actual physics of it, I was definitely going uphill.
As far as your last caller, I thought that he presented some interesting points, but I think on that short of a distance, it would almost be impossible to measure time difference.
Very, very possible. I agree. It was onto something.
And one question to you, Kevin.
Okay.
You mentioned I live in Pennsylvania, and you mentioned there was a place in Pennsylvania. Do you know anything more about that?
No, I just saw a video and watched the video, but I didn't pay much attention to it. And I'll tell you why I didn't pay much attention. I mean, I watched it, but I didn't really absorb detail, like exactly where is it and so forth. And the reason is I was looking to see if anybody... There are some videos from some of these other places around the United States where there's a similar anomaly. And I wanted to see if in any of those videos... that the person who made the video did a measurement of the incline. And that's what I was looking for. And none of the others did. And this one does have a measurement of the incline.
I find the cemetery connection to be interesting, only in so much that from what I'm aware of, even in old cemeteries, they always seem to be just a place near where the community was.
I agree fully. That cemetery's been around since actually 1940, I found out. And it's, again, just tucked away in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, don't guess because I have not seen kind of activity doesn't mean that it doesn't go on. It may very well, and it's very strange. And by the way, Jerome, it's in Bedford County, that Gravity Hill, around New Paris. I don't know if you're familiar with that area or not.
No, I'm in southwestern PA. Thank you for being a guest, Craig, and thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Okay. Sounds like you've done quite a bit of research on these other places.
Yeah, it was all part of the whole program, you know, figuring everything out and stuff like that. When I put this all together, why is this area different? I try to think of all angles. I got to tell you, you really, really brought up some very good questions. Next time I go out to Los Angeles, I think about considering doing a second video, but more of an interview type thing, and doing some even deeper research along the guidelines that you kind of have here with the occult and stuff like that. I think of the Gravity Hill Part 2.
Yeah, and you know, and when I say occult, I think, you know, a lot of times when you say that, people think of something deep, dark, and evil.
Right.
And it could be, but occult simply means hidden. I mean, there are many parts of Christianity, for instance, that are occult. You know, there are parts of it that are hidden. And before
sometimes
anybody,
in plain sight.
Before anybody writes to me and says, "No, there's not," yes, there is. Read the book of Daniel. Read the book of Revelation, and both of them have parts that say the meaning of this is not for you to tell people now. It's hidden until the end time. Okay, so it's occult. That's what it means. That's all it means. Okay, to the telephone caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
Craig, I have a couple of questions for you. Do you remember, you're probably too young to remember when they landed on the moon, but the thing he did with the hammer and the feather?
Yep. Galileo's experiment.
Have you conducted that experiment?
No, I haven't. That'll be in part 3 of Gravity Hill. So I'll have to put that in.
Another one would be a plumb bob.
Yes.
To see if it's if the gravity change is going straight up and straight down, or if it's twisted up or down the hill.
Right, I agree with you. I don't use that kind of equipment. I'd have to hire someone to go with me and help participate in that, but I agree. I have tried some laser leveling stuff.
All you'd need was a roll of wire on the end of a string.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have to go on YouTube and do a do-it-yourself plumb line on that one. It's a very good idea. I like that idea. I appreciate that.
That's all I have to say.
Brent, don't hang up yet. Can you still hear me?
Okay.
I'm surprised you I'm surprised you called us tonight after the way I talked to you last time.
Like I said, Kevin, we all have emotional things that just get out of control sometimes. It comes off worse than it is.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Well, it was not intended, and I'm glad you called.
I know.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, Brent.
623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. We're talking about some weird crap here tonight, folks, and, well, it's not crap, but I mean, it's weird stuff.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff is around us, it's around you, okay? Maybe not exactly this particular phenomena, but, weird stuff is around you, no matter where you live, and it just takes opening our eyes and being alert and listening to what people are telling us, and all of a sudden we discover we actually are living in a much different world than we thought we were. All right, to the telephone and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, Craig, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
Hello. Craig, have you heard of Mystery Hill in Onsted, Michigan?
Yes, I have.
Is that a real spot?
From what I have, I've heard that spot. It is real. I've not been there. For a little research I did on that area, yes, it's definitely part of one of the 13 that are definitely seem to be real from what I've been able to gather.
Yeah, I live like half an hour from it.
Great. Get out of video camera, my friend. Stop making
they
a video.
They have this experiment, you know, they do, and the water runs right up the hill and things like that. So it's
pretty awesome, isn't it? And what do you think? You feel it's, well, you've been there. You feel like walking up the hill. Does it feel like you're getting some resistance? What do you feel when you're there?
Oh, yeah. You feel weird is all I can explain it. That's what I was wondering if on that anomaly in California, if you kind of had a weird feeling when you was on it.
You know, the air is a little different. It's funny you say that. I was so focused on the science. I've been there so many times. Maybe I've just gotten used to that. But you definitely notice it's just a little too quiet sometimes. The wind just a little different sometimes, but maybe it could be my imagination. I'm more of a science-oriented guy, which is what I'm searching for, because that's a step towards the truth a little bit. And it's there. I probably, as Kevin said, I just need to open my eyes and look around a little bit more.
Well, and another thing with this one in Michigan is I know it's nothing to do with gravity because they actually have a chair and it sits without falling over on just two legs.
Hmm. Wow.
So it's pretty strong.
Part four.
What's
I'd
that?
Like to do that. We should get together and get a camera, Rusty.
Oh.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, that's all I had to say. I didn't know if you had... known about that spot or not.
Yes, I have actually. Yes,
okay, Rusty, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, you said they have a chair that just sits on two legs. It doesn't fall over.
Right.
Is it possible that they have learned where to set it so that gravity pulling one direction is equal to the gravity pulling the other direction, so the chair is in stasis?
Well, that part I don't know, because this chair is sitting, you walk in, it's like a little building, it's not a full house or anything, and it's sitting there, so that I don't know. And it's actually sitting on the floor of a, it's an enclosed part, but it's just sitting on the floor, but it's like tipped up, you know, like you walk up this hill to get into this thing, that's all I can explain. You can kind of move the chair a little bit and there's nothing holding it.
Wow.
So it's not super glued.
No.
Well,
I don't know what it is. We call it Mystery Hill, and it's at like a little theme park here in Michigan, in Onsted, Michigan.
Yeah, well, let me say, there are about 13 places like this around the country that I know of. And there are places like this mystery chair and stuff. We need to get together and do extensive research and find out the real meaning of this. Because there could be clues in these anomalies that are presented through maybe the spinning of the earth and the ley lines that could lead to new technology that can make our lives easier and better. And that's something that needs to be done. And this is actually a good medium to suggest that out there, that someone has some connections or something to maybe pull together and do something bigger and better for our society. Reveal some of those hidden occult meanings.
Okay, Rusty, thanks for the call,
right,
man.
Thank you, Rusty.
Yep, thanks.
A chair sitting on two legs. Now, that's pretty cool. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if it would make bald heads grow hair. You know anything about that? Have you checked that out?
I used to be a massage therapist. I massage the scalp. That sometimes helps a little bit.
Well, you know, if I would move to Gravity Hill if it'd make my hair grow.
Well, that's it. Maybe we need to get together, figure out the anomalies here, and then maybe it is about hair growth, and then we can sell it and bottle that.
So
that's the secret. Maybe that's the secret to all these Gravity Hills.
Sell tours and stuff to Gravity Hill. You know, you have to be bald-headed to buy a ticket. Okay, folks, the telephone number 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Or if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message option or call us, either one. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Hello. Well, caller, it shows me that you are online with us, but you're not speaking to us, so we'll disconnect. Okay. We have a flash message from Patrick in Australia, and he says, I grew up not far from Magnetic Hill. As kids, we knew it as Spook Hill. It's located at the end of Mountain View Road, Mount Cotton, just south of Brisbane, Australia. It's very similar in length and angle as the one Craig is describing. It was always fun taking people there and watching them freak when they had to apply the brakes due to the speed the car obtains going uphill. And like Craig's, it is in a reasonably remote location. We even had similar stories of the place being haunted. And there was a small shed there where weird ceremonies supposedly took place. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John in Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
Good.
Very good.
I had a couple of thoughts. I haven't got any answers for why there was anomalies of gravitation exist, but I was curious if the, you know, if these places are randomly, you know, distributed around the world, how accurate, if we don't take, if we don't have a way of measuring the gravitational pull, how accurate are our Olympic records, you know, for the Olympics all over the world?
Yeah, that's a valuable point.
If in one place in the world people are feeling like they're running downhill, they're going to set better records than in another place where they actually feel like they're running uphill.
That's a valuable point. Very well point, John. I agree.
You know, that, you know, it just brings into question, you know, if gravity, we assume gravity was the same all over, mm-hmm. and a lot of times assumptions, you know, later become proven wrong, mm-hmm. you know, it's just my mind works that way, you know.
That's a good way to think.
Well, see, I don't understand why we would assume that gravity is pretty much the same all over the world. And yet, when you said that, my mind said, yeah, that's right. I just assumed that gravity is gravity. And I don't know why we would assume that, because although the magnetic field is something separate from gravity, there may be some connection, but not, I don't think, a great connection. But the magnetic field is not the same all over the world, and it shifts and changes and pulsates, and, you know, and
exactly.
why wouldn't gravity?
That's correct. Right. Even on the moon, when they were flying over the moon, they noticed the path of the ship would dip a little bit. As it flew over the mass cons, the areas of mass concentration of the moon, the dark areas, the Maria.
Mm-hmm.
So the gravity definitely is not necessarily uniform at all. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, John, thanks.
I have another comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, John.
Your question earlier in your conversation was wondering if anyone had noticed you know, a difference, the ones who are living close to it. And the effects may be so slow, it's kind of like the old story about the frog swimming in a pan that's slowly being heated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, no one really lives so close by. And again, about a mile away, just to the north, is where the new homes are, and they've only been there for maybe a few years. So you're absolutely correct. 100% correct. It'd be interesting to follow up.
And then even if somebody left the area and was experiencing, say, a greater gravity somewhere else, they might just feel fatigued from, their fatigue was written off to the travel to the new area or any number of other reasons why you might feel tired or exhausted.
Or maybe they feel worse moving somewhere else, but because being close to this hill actually enhances their being and helps with their vitality. Maybe it's a good thing to live close by. I don't know the answer to that fully yet.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I had, Kevin, was just a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
Right. Appreciate that, John.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. You know what? You said most of the folks that you talked to were older folks.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So there are some houses about, I believe you said, 1 or 2 miles right in the other direction that are correct. Older.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Is that mainly old people living there?
No, it's kind of, it's a little bit of a rundown area, nothing bad, just kind of, I don't want to say shacks, it's a little older, there's a small old restaurant there. It's just, you know, it's an older neighborhood, really, not necessarily age, but just an older community, because it's been around so long, kind of tucked away in the hills back there.
All right, we're going to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Craig Tuz, and we are talking about some really anomalous stuff. But you know, folks, the anomalies around planet Earth are really just laying out all around us, and all it takes is for someone to notice. There are a lot of anomalies. This is one of the reasons you've heard me say, folks, you know, one of the definitions you'll see for paranormal in a dictionary is phenomena for which there is no scientific explanation. And you've heard me say that means almost everything in the universe is paranormal. There are a lot of theories about a lot of things, but there are very few actual scientific explanations that are not theories. There are actually very few. Almost all of what we call scientific knowledge is theory. Now, the scientists will say that's well-established theory. It's been reproduced over and over and over by experimentation by many people and who observe the same results and blah, blah, blah. Now, okay. And when you step off this planet and you go somewhere else, will it work the same? Maybe not. And that's what they found as they've explored the heavens. There's all kinds of stars and galaxies and pulsars and planets doing things that don't fit their scientific knowledge. And so they're having to change, and they're having to refit and change their theories almost every day now. So there are a lot of anomalies around the world. And we live in a paranormal world. We really do. It's all around us if we just open our eyes. Craig, I've got a flash message here from Daniel in Ireland.
Great.
Pretty good question. He mentions that you and I have been talking about ley lines. It's kind of long, but here's the point and the question. Is it possible that these gravity anomalies are ley line nodal points?
I believe absolutely. I definitely can be part of something bigger, just a matter of which one. There's a few different grids that people talk about, but absolutely. I'm part of that 100%.
There is a theory, you know, and the paranormal world is full of theories as well. It's not just the science world. But there is a theory in the paranormal community or paranormal world that ancient astronauts were perhaps not so much astronauts as they were travelers through stargates, and they got here, and people that were here were so amazed and astounded by the technology that brought these extraterrestrials to us that they called them gods. Mm-hmm. And the question then is, you know, these stargates we see on television about how, you know, the SG-1, you know, and Stargate Atlantis and so forth, and it's a big piece of machinery, big mm-hmm. piece of technology. But there's a theory out there that these Stargates are actually not a big piece of technology. It's stuff that's built into the phenomena of the Earth. Mm-hmm. And perhaps these ley line nodal points are stargates. What would you think about that?
I think that's a strong possibility. I think we need to go out there, find out, and use it to our advantage to make this a better place. Absolutely 100%. Let's come up with a theory and go out and do it and apply it and see what we can find. Let's do it 100%. I'll bring the video camera.
Okay. Someone else has to volunteer to travel through the stargate, though, huh?
You know what? I actually would go. Let's do it. You come with me, let's do it.
Sounds good.
Right.
All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Leslie. I'm calling from Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hey, Leslie.
Hi. Well, I was calling. I saw the video about the gravity hill. And back in the day when I was in college, a bunch of us went down, flew into Manzanillo, and we ended up going over to Guadalajara, and I can't remember the name of the town, but somewhere in between there is a place just like what you're showing on the video, mm-hmm. where it even like water would go uphill, but cars would go uphill. It was odd. I was just wondering, have you heard of a place like that somewhere like around Guadalajara? I can't remember where it's at though exactly.
I am sure there's one everywhere in the country. I've mostly concentrated here in the United States and just a few. I know, like I said, there's one in Israel, England, there's one here in Florida and Lake Wales, and one in Canada I know of as well. So I haven't had an opportunity. I really wanted to focus on this one specifically and try to get as much information about it and get it out there to inspire other people to think and try things. But I am sure that there are places like that all over the world in every country. And I don't think a person has been a very thorough search done about that for the rest of the world. Because through my research, I found very little outside this country when I was doing research for this film. But you were the first one,
well,
so
that's why we
all have it on video.
Well, I was also going to say, there's also another anomaly right here where I live, actually, like at my house. Sort of I joke around, every car that I've ever driven, I need a new alternator. So the joke in my family is that I fry our alternators and batteries. So not only is there physical anomalies, I think people themselves can be an anomaly. So something
I fully agree with you there.
Think about.
As a physical therapy assistant, I can actually agree with that. And I wish I had more time to actually do some research on that. But I fully agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those people that are at these energy nodal points, they could be affected to make them more powerful even possibly.
Yeah. Well, it can also cost a lot, you know, depending on, like in my case, so I have to do new alternators and new batteries all the time. So, but I was just calling in to mention that.
I appreciate that, Leslie.
So, Leslie, are you Leslie, are you saying that you are an anomaly?
Yeah, I guess, but it could be fun sometimes, but it just costs too much.
Okay.
Oh, I just got a new alternator in my car just 2 days ago, or no, Friday. So it's every single car I've ever driven, even if they're not necessarily mine, but I've drove for, you know, kind of a lengthy amount of time, they always need a new alternator. But it's great, though, when I go into the shop, they're always amazed, like, wow, how did you know it was the alternator? I'm like, lucky guess, you know, so, yeah.
So, okay. Thanks for the
call.
Thank
you.
All right.
Thank you, Leslie.
623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Clinton from Ireland.
Well, hello, Clinton.
Hey, Clinton.
How are you doing tonight?
Outstanding. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Me too.
The next time your guest is out there in his car, if you brought kitchen scales with him, and at the bottom of the hill, zero the scales with a 1 pound weight on it, and as he goes up the hill, keep an eye on the readout of the scales and see if the mass decreases as he's going up the hill. That would be a way he would check if there's a difference in gravity.
That's good. That's real good.
I like
that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people have all these really great ideas, and I could do more next time I go there. But I think I think in a way this is through this video and through many times I've been there, other people knowing about it, is that we can accept this to an extent that it is an anomaly. Now it's time to start linking the other ones around the country and around the world and see how they stack up together and maybe make something even bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a logical next step.
Clinton, what time of day is it where you are?
Nearly 5 a.m. in the morning.
I'll tell you what, man. I appreciate you being up and listening to this show at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Thank you, Clinton.
I got it tonight. I'm not the only one.
That's right. That's right. We had Daniel from Ireland sent us a flash message. And what's the weather like where you are right now?
Drizzly and wet.
My kind of weather. I love drizzly, wet weather. I prefer a blizzard, but if I can't have a blizzard, drizzly and wet is fine. I like that. Clinton,
I'd rather have snow.
You say you have snow now?
I would rather have snow than this wet weather.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I would too. But it's really depressing for me to walk out and see bright sunshine everywhere. That just depresses me. I like bad weather. Clinton, thank you so much for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Clinton.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Ireland. I got a call from Taiwan one night.
Wow.
Yeah. We get calls from around the world from time to time. Most people use the flash message if they're outside of the USA or outside of Canada. But we do get calls. Got a call from Vietnam one time.
Yeah.
And Australia. Yeah, pretty cool.
I'm impressed.
And Germany. Germany. Wow. We have a pretty good audience there in Germany. All right, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And, you are asking questions, folks, and you are making comments that really are adding to this story. I mean, you've got some great ideas and some great perspectives, and I appreciate that. So some of you have still not called in, and you've got something that you've been thinking about that you want to suggest, and you've noticed I didn't bite anybody yet tonight. I don't do that too often. I did last week accidentally. I didn't realize I did it. You ever do that? Craig, you ever do that? I didn't realize that I did it, and then when I went back and listened to the show, I mean, it was totally not my intent, but boy, it sounded rough, and I've already sent an email and apologized to that person.
That's good. That's
way
to do it.
Yeah, I totally did not intend that, but I'm an old guy, and sometimes I do weird stuff. Speaking of weird stuff, this is weird stuff here that we're talking about. It's not, it's, you know, this is not like a ghost that's going to hunt you down and eat your soul. It's not weird in that respect. It's weird in the sense that there's something happening on this planet, apparently has been since there's been a planet, something happening with energy flows that we've never been told about. And it's part of the reality around us. Now, here's what I wonder. Do you think it's possible that instead of making the manifestation of ghosts more readily possible in that area, is it possible that this energy, whatever is happening here with this gravity hill, is affecting the mind and thus perception of people? And that maybe they're seeing ghosts that aren't really there, but they really appear to be there because their mind is being messed with by this energy. Is that a possibility?
Yes, it is. And we really need to have more theories and figure out what we need to do here and possibly extract something positive from that. But absolutely, you're 100% correct. Very easy could affect them and could be playing mind tricks and hallucinations on them by all means.
Okay.
So let's try to eliminate that possibility. Let's go figure it out and do something about it. Because then we could take that and maybe do something better. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Caller, are you willing to hang on till we get back from this break?
Yes, sir.
All right. You hang in there and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. Let me remind everyone that most of the music we use here comes from the independent artist at musicalley.com, and we greatly appreciate the fact that they allow us to use their music. To the telephone, and caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Leon from Indianapolis.
Leon from Indianapolis, all right. What's on your mind, Leon?
Jan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A couple of things. I've been researching this for several years, and so far I've seen over 350 of these in the United States. So what's strange is I haven't seen any really scientific investigation of these spots, and it's really curious why nobody's ever dug any up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. I didn't find as many as you said, but even so, let's say there are that many. That's still a small percentage, considering there's like over 100,000 roads in this country. So that's actually still a small percentage. But I agree. I mean, mm-hmm. No one did what I did because I was curious, and since I decided I'll do the exploring myself, that's why one of the reasons why I made this film. And I agree with you 100%. We need to start digging some of them up. What a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or at least do ground-penetrating radar.
Absolutely. It could be a UFO buried
exactly.
there.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, maybe, Craig, could you try using, maybe at nighttime, a couple of lasers and see if they actually bend?
I did that, and I did include it in the film because I really couldn't make good sense of it. It wasn't good for video, and I will tell you this, it didn't bend. It was pretty much straight, and it didn't work out to see anything, really. I tried that with the lasers. I tried bouncing light on mirrors and stuff, and it's hard to set up when you're doing things by yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought that these are created by Craig, by maybe a stellar mass from supernovas that are attached themselves to meteors that come to Earth?
Absolutely. Let's dig it up. You got a great idea there. I'm with you.
Thank you.
All right.
That's all, Kevin. Great show.
All right. Thank you. You're right. It is a great show. And I want to remind everyone that the reason we even know about this and are having this show is because some of you, some of our listeners, have sent me links to Craig's video and said, take a look at this. And so as a result of that, I got in touch with Craig and asked him if he would come and be on the show, and so here he is. And it's interesting what this last caller brought up about some stellar body out there, because I have a flash message from Belgium. It's from Spardella Giulio in Belgium, and he says, "Hello, Kevin and Taz. Could Andromeda Galaxy near us approaching to our galaxy causing the time shifting as well for 2012? I think what he's asking here is it possible that the Andromeda Galaxy that's getting nearer to us is somehow sort of affecting or activating these points around the Earth?
Absolutely. There's a definite possibility on that. No two ways about it. It's like a planetary alignment. It's almost as if our solar system or galaxy could be a node on a much grander scale on the ley line. Absolutely, 100%.
So what you're suggesting then is that it's possible that what we're calling ley lines actually exist not just on this planet, but off the planet into the universe.
Yes, maybe in a different capacity, but absolutely. Maybe instead of a 2D grid wrapping, just lines wrap around the United States or the world connecting points, they could be in three dimensions where we hit this planet, maybe something above us, different galaxies as well. Absolutely, 100%. You got to think a little deeper sometimes, and that really sometimes expands your mind when you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or bends it.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, but it's you're exactly right. Now, one of the things, and we're almost out of time, so I can't get into this very deeply, but one of the things that I know, because I've seen it with my own eyes, it exists all over the world. I didn't see it all over the world. I saw it here in the United States, actually out in Arizona. And that is that ancient people made petroglyphs. Mm-hmm. And some of these petroglyphs have symbols that the shamans of the Native American tribes have said these symbols indicate an energy vortex or a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And they mark, I know because I've been out to South Mountain. I went out there with Walter Bosley, who is really one of the ley line experts in America. And we went out there, and I know that they marked right where a ley line is. And, in fact, it was an intersection of two ley lines. And they marked it with a spiral indicating a portal. And you got to ask yourself, how did they know? They didn't have any meters. They didn't have any instruments, scientific instruments, so far as we know. Mm-hmm. So how did they know? But they obviously did.
They had information. That simple.
I'm sorry?
They had, either you probably use a dowsing rod, or they had that esoteric information that we talked about earlier. There's no two ways about it. There's no other way. Unless they felt or sensed it somehow, but most likely they held some kind of knowledge.
You know, the dowsing rod sounds like probably a very plausible explanation. Because that's pretty amazing, simple technology. All by itself, the dowsing rods.
Yes. You know, one thing I said in the beginning of my film, for instance, about petroglyphs, is that there were no markings, and I scanned the whole area. There are no markings to this gravity hill. Unless you know about it or someone takes you there, you'll never know. You just ride right over it, not even think twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree that some reason it got passed over, or maybe it's supposed to be kept that way, and no one's supposed to know about it.
So where do you go from here, Craig, with this Gravity Hill information? What's next?
I'll tell you, you've kind of inspired me a little bit and talked to everyone, how interested everyone is. I thank everyone for referring my video to you. I really can't tell everyone how much I appreciate that. I'm thinking about, I'll be out in Los Angeles in June. I'm considering shooting a second film and trying out some of these things that people have suggested. and maybe trying to connect them on a ley line with some other places that are like this around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may take this to another level. I just finished my film about Stanley Kubrick, but I think my next film may just be expanding this Gravity Hill subject.
Well, if you, you get into the Los Angeles area, I know some people that could be perhaps resources for you there that could give you some information if you want it.
Yeah,
and one of them is Walter Bosley.
I got it here, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I'm going to look him up, actually.
Yeah.
He's out there in June.
So do you live far from this area?
I used to live right near there for two decades. I lived right in the area. And mm-hmm. I actually was taken there by my driving instructor teacher back in 82. I was taking my driving test, and he had me driving this back road in the middle of nowhere, and there were four of the kids in the car, but for some reason he chose me, and he told me, right here, stop the car, put it in neutral. And again, I'm just like, one of my first times driving, I'm like, where the heck am I? And I'm in the backwoods around the mountains here in the middle of nowhere, and here comes a cemetery. I make a right, I stop at the hill, put the car in neutral. They tell us to take my foot off the brake. I'm like, what are you talking about? Took my foot off the brake, and the car rolled up the hill, and I was hooked ever since. I lived there for many years. I took friends there and everything, and when I got more into the video, it's always bothered me. I always wanted to do more research, and that's why I made this film, to dig even deeper on something that fascinated me.
All right. If you will, stay on the phone with me for just a moment, and I have to bring this in for a landing. We've run out of time. Fascinating, isn't it, folks? We live in a fascinating planet. It's got all kinds of neat, weird stuff nobody ever told us about, and they don't seem very inclined to want to tell us about it. But if we open our eyes and pay attention and listen, we'll discover lots of these really neat, weird things all around us. Let me remind you, if you have not yet joined our members community, fix that tonight. It's only $7.50. That comes out to 25 cents a day. That's it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.